1, 2, 1, 2, 3.
Yeah! This for you, Belinda.
Sing it, Jordan Hudson.
This should bring Dixie back.
Yeah!
These little newbies don't know how to act.
Yeah!
They're bringing in a rider who's a hack.
Yeah!
Just bring back Dixie, she'll pick up the slack.
Yeah! Give her girl a break!
Dish new babe! Bring back Alexa Ace, cause she's our fave! And get our Amber too, it's her we crave! All this uncasting can't go on this way!
Take them to the chorus!
Katie girl.
Hey, Franz, get on with it.
Bring Katie back.
Go ahead, get on with it.
AMC.
Go ahead, get on with it.
Listen to me.
Go ahead, get on.
Treating our girls like shit.
Go ahead, get on with it.
Read my lips.
Go ahead, get on with it.
Better make me smile.
Go ahead, get on.
Cause I'm tasty mild.
Go ahead, get on with it.
Bring on Dixie on.
Franz, he's dirty.
Bring on Dixie on.
He sucks funky butt.
Bring on Dixie on.
Julie's grandfather.
Bring on Dixie on.
AMC needs others.
Bring on Dixie on.
Replace my EP.
Bring on Dixie on.
Get rid of Judy.
Bring on Dixie on.
Bring
her Dixie on.
And give us Katie.
They should bring Dixie back.
Yeah.
Their mother must be smoking crack.
Yeah.
They need to make up for being so whack.
Yeah.
Cause they're pissing us off. That's a cold hard bag.
Yeah.
Give us what we want. Dishing you, babe. Bring back Alexa H, cause she's our fave. And get our Amber too, it's her we crave. All this uncasting can't go on this way.
Take it to the chorus.
Katie girl.
Hey, Franz, get on with it.
Bring Katie back.
Go ahead, get on with it.
AMC.
Go ahead, get on with it.
Listen to me.
Go ahead, get on with it.
Treating our girls like shit.
Go ahead, get on with it.
Read my lips.
Go ahead, get on with it.
Better make me smile.
Go ahead, get on with it.
Cause I'm tasty mild.
Go ahead, get on with it.
Bring a Dixie on.
Get Franz, he's good on.
Bring a Dixie on.
He sucks on people.
Bring a Dixie on.
Julie's grandfather.
Bring a Dixie on.
EP needs others.
Bring a Dixie on.
Replace the EP.
Bring a Dixie on.
Get rid of Judy.
Bring a Dixie on.
Bring her
Dixie on.
And give her Katie.
You ready?
Oh, yeah. That's a funky groove, Jordan.
Woo!
Bring back Katie. This week on All My Children, put a fork in her. Katie McLean is done as Dixie.
Jake gets up in Angie's grill. Girl, you need to bitch slap him.
Speaking of bitch slaps, Greens gets whooped upside the head by Kendall's balls.
And speaking of balls, Erica unleashes her 92-pound wrath on her 175-pound cellmates. All this week on the Pine Valley Podcast.
Welcome to the Pine Valley Podcast. I am your host, Ashley Mendoza.
And I am your co-host, no, Jordan
you're
Hudson.
This is the podcast for the week ending June 13th, Friday the 13th.
Ooh, is it Friday the
13th? 2008.
I don't know why that day was important. Oh, because the happening opened today, but after reading those reviews, I'm not going to go see it.
I heard it was terrible.
I heard it. I was so looking forward to it, but I guess not.
Maybe we should not digress. Fans don't like it when we digress.
All right. You're gonna bleep me a couple of times tonight, I'm sure, because no. I'm feeling feisty.
Listen. I think, but are you referring to what I think you're referring to?
No, I'm talking about the show.
Oh, okay, good.
I'm talking about the show. I'm feeling feisty about
all
the
right,
show.
We
this
might
week.
As well talk about it. I told Jordan before the show, I'm like, don't you even talk about it. I will kill you. I don't want to talk about it. It's done. It's over. It's no big whoop. Everybody's entitled to their opinion. Blah, 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 blah. And here I am talking about it.
Well, because I told you that we should. This is a podcast. This is where we talk about stuff, you know. And I'm loving the fact that you guys blog on and you email, because I gotta say, you guys are really, you are just passionate and intelligent, and you know, and I love the fact that we could talk about almost anything, and you guys, we got so much in common. Like, a lot of you watch other shows besides AMC, and a lot of you watch the nighttime shows. A lot of you watch, tell me how you watch Book of Daniel, with so many All My Children people that were on Book of Daniel. You know, and we we discussed this back and forth. We talked about a whole bunch of different things. And I think CRS was asking me about Guiding Light because he thought that what they were shooting outside on All My Children this week was like Guiding Light. CRS is
one of our wonderful bloggers.
Yeah. No, CRS. I hate to tell you, I wish that Guiding Light was shooting the way All My Children does. You need to tune into Guiding Light and see what I'm talking about.
It's crazy.
They shoot the back of people's heads while they're talking. They shoot from 3 miles away. And
to think of like how you describe it, like another show. Like,
I honestly,
hard to describe. It's like the cheapest show you ever seen.
I don't have anything against exteriors. I actually liked exteriors, and I thought the exteriors at All My Children were beautifully done. And even One Night to Live is doing exteriors, and even As the World Turns is doing exteriors. I don't know what is up on Guiding Light, though. They're smoking crack. It is the most bizarre thing.
But I kind of find it intriguing. Like, I'm so intrigued by what they're doing because it's so unlike CRS-17 and all of y'all. It's so unlike any other soap
ever in
our history.
I can't get into it. I can't get into it. And I hope that the other shows do not follow suit because it's horrible.
You know why? Because I think that there's a reason that people watch daytime. And because daytime is a certain thing. It means a certain thing to all of us, I think. And when you really mess with it that badly, you're either gonna love it or hate it.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people are hating it because I think they feel like if they wanted to see that kind of programming,
they'd watch The Hills. They'd watch something like that. And it's like,
and it's even a little better, even though The Hills is bad.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, I don't know, it's just, you know what it is. And what was I gonna say? Sunshine was also Sunshine. Hi, girl. I read your thing on the blog, and you were saying that about the young people because she's young, and she was saying that she wants to see the young older characters.
People, yeah.
And I just want to make sure that we understand each other. It's not that I don't have, I don't know about you, but me personally, I don't have anything against the young characters in the show. Just give me some young good actors. That's the problem.
Well, we should clarify what we were talking about in the beginning. We had some, you know, feedback from a listener on our MySpace page. And I don't know if he's still listening. I think from his original post, he may have given up on us. And that's okay. And it was so funny because, like, I was telling Carlos and I was telling Jordan and I actually was telling Taylor, too, that, you know, it's so funny because we have big mouths on this show. That's why we do the show.
Yeah.
We do the show because we have opinions about the show. But at the core, people, we love the show.
Otherwise, why would we be doing
it? Why the hell would we do this? I spend hours every week. I spend every day watching this show so you don't have to. And I write notes. I do songs. I mean, Jordan does songs with me. He's on the blog all the time, keeping in touch with you people. We do it because we love the show. And as Miss Jilly Bean said, we know what the show has been and what it can be and what talented people are on the show.
Mm-hmm.
So we voice our opinion, and you know what? That's fine. You disagree. That's American. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that is American.
What I'm saying too is like, I could take it because if I'm gonna sit here in a microphone every week and dish it out, you know, and criticize or whatever it is with love, people, with love, then I should be able to take it. And you know what? I respect it. That's what you think.
I respect it too, but I gotta tell you, if you're really not happy with what you're hearing, then turn it off. Like it. Don't listen.
Well, that's right.
Just because we're expressing what we don't like in the show, I think we express a lot about what we do like. And I think the only way that we're going to get change is if we voice our opinions. I mean, the thing is like, if nobody says anything, then they're going to think that this is what we want from All My Children. And they're going to keep giving us mediocre stuff. That's the problem with daytime.
On Daytime Confidential.
What?
They watch all the shows, and I think it's a very informative podcast. So that's why I send people there. www.daytimeconfidential.com. They said that they heard that Brian Franz was shocked that people were in such an uproar over Dixie leaving. That they thought that the viewers would just get used to her being dead and move on with it. That's how
he really said that.
They said that that's what he expressed.
Does he not realize how she was killed off?
I have no clue what is going on.
Did he not watch the show to see like how stupid that was and how disrespectful it was?
I have no idea. I told you last week, some of these people in these positions actually think they know what they're talking about. And you know what? I wish that, like, I could respect it. Like, if you didn't believe that you thought you knew what you were talking about, then I could respect it. But if you sit there and you make these dumb decisions and you think you know what's best, then I'm just like, I'm stupefied. That's the only word, stupefied.
But see, look, the thing is that they then backtrack on their comments, like what Julie Crapother said about the fact that, you know, she realized the whole thing about bringing Dixie back was to rectify the mistake. So you're admitting that you realized that that was a mistake. Letting Megan McTavish kill the character off was a mistake. Letting Tab become a killer was a mistake.
You people, something happened behind the scenes there, I'm telling you. Don't you think?
Yeah, I'll go with it.
Anyway, I think that the powers that be did not like her outspokenness. I don't think they like a strong woman. Katie is a strong, intelligent, beautiful, bright, smart woman. I don't think they like that. And I think that they were being spiteful.
I do think that they're being spiteful, and all I can say about it is I really think that Brian Fonz is not doing a great job. I don't think he has Daytime's best interest at heart. That's just my opinion. I personally think that the new head of ABC Daytime should be Frank Valenti, or Valenti, or whatever his name Valentini. Is from One Life to Live. I mean, he is doing such a bang up job at One Life to Live. I cannot tell you how riveting.
I think he'll get that.
He's worked his way up. I mean, he started out as Paul Rauch's assistant back in the 80s, and then he went to like being a director on the show, then being a producer, then executive producer. I mean, I think that we need somebody like that as the head of Daytime, somebody who actually knows and really pays attention, because I heard that he actually reads all the emails that the fans send in, and he's keeping track of what the fans are looking for and what they like, what they don't like. And him and Ron C have been doing such a bang up job. I don't know if you heard about One Night to Live's 40th anniversary and what they have planned. It was a big scoop, and I knew about it, but I didn't want to say anything. Now it's all out in the open. But they're really respecting the history of the show and what the show is about. I'm looking forward. I'm not going to say it in case none of you still don't know, but it's an exciting time for One Night to Live come July for their 40th anniversary, especially when you consider the General Hospital celebrated an anniversary a couple of months ago, and they didn't do anything for their anniversary. They showed a 2-second like montage at the end of the episode that didn't even cover half of General Hospital's history. There was like one image of Luke and Laura. It was disgusting. I mean, I give much props to Ron C and Mr. Frank V, because I'm telling you, I'm loving One Life to Live. And all I want is for one of my children to be just as good as their sister show.
So you people, you keep on writing in. We're going to keep saying what we think. We're going to keep loving the show. And we're going to keep calling the show on the stupid stuff.
That's what we love to do.
That's what we're here. We love to hear ourselves talk. You know what I'm saying? And we hope you do too. And if you don't, you can write us and you can tell us. You could go to pvp@pinevalleypodcast.com. You send us an email. You could go to our MySpace page, www.myspace.com/pinevalleypodcast. You can go to our website, www.pinevalleypodcast.com, and you can blog on our blogger site. So you people, you keep the opinions coming. I don't care. Good, bad, indifferent. We are like Frank Valentini. We want to hear from you.
That's nice. I like that. Belinda, thank you for our song.
Belinda, that song was awesome.
I was at home reading the blog, Belinda, and when I got to your song, I was literally crying. I was laughing so hard. My sister came running, because my sister and me lived together. She came running into the room.
She was having an asthma attack.
She's like, what are you laughing about?
She's like, here's your bumpita.
I was just like, Belinda, I love this song. I was telling Ashley, so we got to do it. We got to do it this week. And so it fit.
We didn't even tell you people. I'm so sorry. We got a little off topic there. But Belinda, who is one of our bloggers on the blog site, wrote us a song about Katie. It was last week. And yes, unfortunately, I didn't get it in time to do the recording of it, but we got it for this week. And it
Which
fits
is fitting.
Perfect.
It fits pretty, because Katie's leave is Katie's
because
last week.
The first storyline, we're going to start it with Tad and Adam and Katie. And it was Katie's last week, and it was perfect. All right, so you want to talk about Tad and Adam and Katie?
Yes. Oh, yes. My God. Do I want to... Oh, my God. Go ahead. Stop, because I'm going to cry.
All right, we're going to start with...
That was some good stuff.
First, we kind of see... I'm going to try to go in order here. First, we see Adam at home, and he is ruminating over the whole reveal about Katie.
Ooh, where did you buy that word?
Ruminating. I like that word, right?
I know.
Ruminating.
I just don't know how you know of it.
I read the Reader's Digest large print edition.
I was like, ooh, she's using those $10 words.
I used to read it every week, and now I don't read it so much, but I used to read it every week with Taylor, because I had to keep up with his big brain. He had a big brain.
He was very big, okay.
And a very large vocabulary.
Okay.
Anyway, Adam is at home, and he's all, like, somber over Katie and what he did and everything, and new Kobe walks in, and she does her, like, Brienne Moncrief best to cut Adam down. Have we figured out? Everybody's writing. Melissa's writing.
About
everybody's
her forehead?
Blogging. Oh my gosh.
She has a big forehead.
Listen,
that's like an IMAX theater. I'll say it. You can show a movie on that forehead.
Have we figured out why she is there? Frankie is no longer going to be with Colby.
I know. Didn't Super Poster tell us that the new PD's coming?
Yes.
Hi, Super Poster.
Hello, Super Poster. Super Poster is our MySpace friend who has a wonderful All My Children fan space, www.myspace.com/Super Poster of the Year. Check him out, people.
And he even gave us a picture of him. I love you, Super Poster. You're fabulous.
He gave us a picture of Petey. I don't know.
He looks like he could be Jill Larson's son.
But he doesn't look like Petey. Petey was like a redheaded brat.
My only thing is I hope he can act. That's what I want. Because I really thought they were going to get Jesse Sofer for more As the World Turns.
Too old.
What do you mean too old?
He is too old for Petey. Petey is like 16. Jesse Sofer was having kids on As the World Turns.
Yeah, but Jesse Sofer's character was young and having kids.
He didn't look that young.
Well, anyway.
Anyway. So, Tad and Crystal tell Katie that Julie, finally. And Crystal is still wearing that dress.
See, I don't care what you said. I thought it was ridiculous that she was still wearing that dress.
I was like,
days have gone by. People have moved on.
With how much those people, those costume people, spent on that dress, you better be sure she'd be wearing it for 2 weeks.
I'm
telling you, people, if I'm putting an estimate on that dress, that's a one of a kind dress. I'm saying at least 7 grand.
I just gotta say something about new Colby.
Please do.
I really did not like her scene with Adam. I thought,
ridiculous!
I thought she was awful in it, and I'm going to tell you why I thought she was awful. I just felt like she's playing the character the way Amber was playing it at the very beginning. It's a very childish, very immature, shrillish kind of...
No, she wasn't.
The character grew up so much.
She wasn't playing it like that.
Why?
Because she was playing it like this. I'm so mad at you. What is wrong with you? I can't even imagine what you did to that little girl.
You're giving it too much emotion.
Oh,
go ahead.
Damn, I was trying so hard.
I was trying so hard to tone it down.
Listen, Amber played it like a baby, yes, but she was still acting. I still believed her as a bratty girl.
No, but see, Amber, that's my problem with
it. Colby ain't even acting.
The thing is that Amber grew up in the character, the role. Like, she really, the thing I loved about Amber's performance is, like, at the beginning, we were supposed to hate her.
She was supposed to be annoying. We did. But we didn't hate her acting. We hated the character.
We hated the character. And then the character grew up. And I feel like the character was in a certain place when Amber was playing. And now it just seems to be backtracking like 3 years. Well, it's like, oh, it's annoying, annoying.
Well, thank God we cut back to little Miss Kathy because, oh my God.
She's knocking Emma out for my favorite kid.
She is. I'm sorry to tell you. I love Emma. Don't get me wrong.
Where's Auntie Julia? Oh, God.
He's so mean. Well, listen. Tad tells Katie, and I guess we gotta call her Kathy now. I love calling her Katie.
Well, maybe he's gonna change her name.
He ain't gonna change her name. That's cruel.
Or maybe he'll call her
Sunshine. Katie. No, he ain't gonna call her Katie. He be calling her Sunshine, and I almost cried.
Oh, when he called her Sunshine?
Because Dixie used to sing You Are My Sunshine.
Thank you, JR, yes.
Oh my God, I almost died. So anyway, I digress. They tell Kathy, and that little girl's reaction, and I was waiting for her to cry. I'm gonna admit to you something.
What?
I was really hoping that she would be like a prodigy and be like able to cry on cue.
I don't know. I don't agree with you. I don't think she needed to cry.
No, not that she needed to. I'm just saying there's a little piece of me that was like, come on, baby. You could do it, baby.
I thought she was fabulous.
Listen, she was
her little trembling and the camera was like, oh,
can I tell you? It was. And that's what I'm going to go into right now. Not that I needed her to cry. At first, I was like, is she gonna? Is she gonna? But when she did it, it didn't matter because her face was so
it
perfect.
Said it all. I mean,
she was back and forth at Crystal and Tad. Gosh. And she was trying so hard
and she
to
was
figure
trembling.
Them out.
Her little,
and her little mouth was trembling.
And let me tell you something. She gave a better performance than Brianna Moncrief. This is what I'm talking about. You're getting out-acted by a six-year-old.
Well, that girl's good. That little girl's good.
She
looks so much like Dixie. It makes the hairs on my arms.
She does. They did a really good job. She does look like Katie.
Oh, my God. She was so good. Anyway, she goes running out because she can't take it. And she runs into Adam. And Adam, doing that thing that I live for. I love the moments when we get to see Adam as a human being. Because it's there. That man's got a little black coal heart, you know, like the Grinch. You know how the Grinch has mm-hmm, a little mm-hmm, black mm-hmm, coal heart, mm-hmm. but there's a little tiny glow in there. Mm-hmm. And if you ignite it, it gets real, real bright. And Adam has that. And he starts talking Katie off the ledge, and she was just putty in his hands. And Crystal's watching, and she's wearing that Jackie Kennedy dress, and she starts to cry. Let me tell you, Crystal never looked more beautiful. And you know what? They use less makeup with her during those scenes. Her skin is beautiful, and I was wishing that they would use that little makeup normally, because when she had her makeup on again, it was too heavy. I wanted to see her because she's so beautiful. He's crying.
No, you know why I'm crying? Because I'm remembering the scenes, and I just got to tell you, this is why I'm so upset about this change in writers, because even though these writers aren't perfect, sometimes they hit it right on the bullseye. And these scenes, they obviously understand the characters of Tad, Crystal, and Adam. And the way they're playing this out is so deep and so rich and so character-driven. Absolutely. And they really understand the history of these complex characters. And the only thing that I was confused about was his monologue to Kathy. Who do you think he was talking about? Do you think Crystal. He was talking about... You think he was talking about Crystal?
I do.
Absolutely. I didn't know if he was talking about his sister, Charlotte, who he lost.
He was talking about Crystal,
the baby he lost. Charlotte, the woman who lost Crystal. Okay.
Absolutely. Well, viewers, do you agree with me? Because I think without a doubt
he was talking about Crystal. Okay, I'll buy that. I was just, you know, because he never, I was kept waiting for him to mention who it was that he lost. But the thing was, it was such a beautiful written scene and monologue and so well acted by Mr. Canary. Well, then, and Miss Eeks and little Kathy.
Absolutely. Oh. And then, well, so then it's nice because Kathy is able to run back to Tad and they're able to connect and hug mm-hmm, and all that mm-hmm. stuff. And then Dixie, I didn't expect to see her again. Did you know?
No, I didn't. I thought she was done already.
I was really happy with the way it ended, because it ended enough of a ghost-like thing to leave a little bit of a window. Like, okay.
A little bit of hope.
Here's the thing. I talked before about the Grinch's heart, and it got smaller and smaller, like a piece of coal, and then mm-hmm. it had a little piece of warmth, and it mm-hmm. could ignite, and it got warm, and then mm-hmm. he became nice. The problem with this whole Dixie storyline is there was a window. The window was about a normal window size when mm-hmm. she first came on, and then the longer she came on, that window started to close. And you know what that window is?
What?
The astral plane.
Yeah.
That you discussed.
Mm-hmm.
Jordan discussed the astral plane scenario to get Dixie back on the show.
Yeah. It's gone.
Well, it was getting littler and littler. And then when she left last week, when she disappeared into heaven, there was still a little tiny window left. It was about the size of my thumb.
Hope.
This week, hope shattered. Is gone. Dead, gone. Invisible. No window. No window. Dixie comes back. And I'm sick of her. I think she looks beautiful, but I don't want to see her anymore. Not as a ghost. I don't want to see her anymore. She left perfect for me. She left perfect enough for me to think that maybe Adam thought this all up. She left perfect enough to me to think to know Tad just dreamed it. She comes back and she congratulates Adam on doing the right thing. And she tells him to stick to the journey. And of course, Crystal comes in.
How amazing does she look?
Amazing. That dress.
What was up? What? Her hair.
Her hair.
Well, after being in a week in the same outfit with the same hairdo, I guess she felt the need to get freshened up.
I tell you.
And boy,
she took a shower.
She looked hot.
Beautiful.
Perfect. I mean, that dress was perfect. That was a perfect way to show up to see your man.
Royal blue dress. When they put that on her, she must have been so happy that Bobby E.
Oh my God, her hair, when he opened the door and I saw her, I was just like, my jaw dropped. She looked hot.
Well, it dropped even more because Adam starts going, rah, 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 Crystal, rah. And then she says, Adam, I saw the man I fell in love with, Adam. It was amazing. Wasn't it?
It was
so good.
It was. Let me tell you something.
But then she tells him she can't dress him, and he's like, "Yes, yes, you can, Crystal. Yes, you can." And she says, "No, I can't." She runs off.
But this is good drama because you know eventually she will. Eventually she loves Adam, and see, this is the thing that I love about this storyline is that Crystal is like the first woman who Adam is like really loved and has not done any conniving, like, you know what I mean? Because all his other loves, like Gloria, Liza.
It's what that head writer said. That's what you're not hearing me on.
What?
Last week we had the argument over it.
What?
Disagreement, people. We don't argue because I love Jordan Hudson.
Wait, say it again.
One true love Every soap character needs one true love. I think it was Tom Castiello, one of the writers, said it, and I so agree. Greenlee's one true love, Leo. Even Rebecca agreed. On Super Poster's blog, you could read the Q&A with Rebecca Buttig. It was excellent. She then gave excellent answers.
Why does she let the writers keep telling her
it's
to say that
Aiden's
her job,
and you know that.
She could speak up. A lot of soap actors. Kim Zimmer does it.
But I bet she
Elizabeth
does.
Elizabeth Hubbard does
she
it.
She said on the show that she wishes she'd talk about Leo more, but she what can she do?
See, I
that's
think
what she said on the interview. All right. No, hear me out.
I know.
One true love, Greenlee Leo.
Mm-hmm.
Tad Dixie, she said it. Soulmates, Adam Crystal, Haiti Mateo, Maria Edmond. Am I right?
I don't want to talk about Maria and Edmond.
I'm not going to say Zach and Kendall because I don't believe that. I believe Kendall and Ryan, or even Ryan and Jillian.
No, I never liked Jillian.
You don't think Ryan and Jillian were soulmates?
No, I thought Jillian was the... Oh, I couldn't stand...
But no.
When she died, I was the happiest man.
Opinion aside.
No, I don't.
You don't think they were soulmates?
No, I like Ryan and Kendall a hell of a lot better than Jillian. All right. I never liked Jillian. I never bought into Jillian.
One
and
true love, Adam and Quack. That's Crystal with a K for all those in the know.
No, I agree with you on that point. That does not mean, though, that you can't fall in love again.
I'm not saying that. I'm saying that at some point, the other people you fall in with become your best friends, not your true loves. That's what I'm saying. No sex appeal between Tad and Crystal. No, to me, not much sex appeal between Tad and Liza. Best friends.
I disagree with you. We're never going to agree with that.
Intellectual equals, but
we're
not,
never
going to
agree
not
with that.
Passionate
Tad and Liza are hot.
Oh, my. I take Tad and Marion over Tad and Liza. I'll take Tad and Olga Svensson over Tad and
Olga,
Liza.
You remember Olga? I love me some Olga Svensson.
I love me some Olga. All right, so Tad and Kathy see each other again. And Tad gives her a pretty dang grown-up explanation.
You thought that too?
I
was like, I don't even understand what you're talking about.
And Kathy's like, huh? She looks like my dog Gucci when she hears a high-pitched sound.
Really? Huh? Sounds more like Scooby-Doo.
Yeah, that's it. That's exactly right. She looked gorgeous, though, by Kathy. Oh, she was wearing a brown dress with brown polka dots. I wanted it in a grown-up size.
You are just Mr. Black one tonight, aren't you?
I loved it. I love that dress, and I love that little girl. She's amazing. He called her Sunshine. I almost cried. And then he tells her that she can call him Daddy. And she lights up like a Christmas tree. And she calls him Daddy. This is the first time I've seen Tad like this. He's so alive. Ever since he committed that murder and Dixie died, so alive.
I gotta tell you, Michael Knight deserves an Emmy next year.
Absolutely.
He deserves an Emmy because he is giving some of the best work. You know, it's like he's always been great. He's always been
always
phenomenal.
Phenomenal
actor. No matter what garbage they give him, he'll make it work.
Phenomenal.
But the stuff that I love about the stuff that he's been playing these last few weeks is just that it's so subtle.
Yep.
You know,
yep.
Any other actor would have been over the top. Any other act, and when she called him Daddy, and the look on his face, and then he was like, "Yep, that works." My heart broke.
He said it that small, but there was a river of emotion.
Let me tell you something.
His face got red. His eyes got wet. It was astounding. It was like...
You know, and he don't have kids in real life, and that amazes me because
he
seems like... I mean, and maybe that's because...
The best dad on television.
Maybe he could be, you know, just... Maybe that's it. He's a great actor because he seems like he'd be a great dad.
Yeah.
You know, man, probably in real life, he don't want kids. He don't even like kids.
Was that Opal and Joe meet Kathy?
That was, and you know what? That was the scary part for Kathy, finding out Opal was her grandmother. She was like, "That crazy lady's my grandmother."
It was cute when Opal was like, "I'm not really used to that term, but you can call me grandma."
She's not used to that term. How old is Jamie?
I know, right? Anyway, it was funny, but listen. So then, this is the part, people, and you can all disagree with me, but I despised it.
Yeah, but say why you despised it.
I despised.
There's a reason you despised
Tad
it.
Tad is in the chapel, right? Kathy leaves, and I'll start to call her Kathy now. It's no fun, but I can't call her Kathy anymore. Kathy leaves with Opal. Joe leaves. Tad sticks behind to pray because he's a very godly church-going man.
Ever since he killed somebody.
Ever since he committed murder. And then he says, Dixie, I wish I could see you. What does he say? He says something about Dixie.
We found her. You did good. You did good. She looks, you know.
And then he feels someone touching him. And he turns around and it's Dixie. Hated it. Hated it beyond. Hated it. Because she appeared to him as real, like she appeared to Adam. So she takes him into the woods, into like the special place they used to go with some crap like that.
No, that was the place that they missed each other.
Oh.
Back when he thought he was Terracini.
Oh, I don't even care. That's how much I hated this. I was like, blah.
But she, blah. The reason she hates it is because it definitely puts a fork in the fact that Dixie's dead.
She is dead and gone. That's why she hates it.
I mean, the scenes were beautifully written. I mean, when she told him, make me laugh, and then he told that story about, I was there, I was crying, I was with them.
Well, first of all, I understand
what you're talking about. It hurts because she's gone.
Tad was lit up, like I said, like a Christmas tree. Mm-hmm. And I haven't seen him like this in a long time. Like, that's why he's such a brilliant actor. He doesn't light up like this around Crystal. He lit up around his girl. And he was like, I could feel him nervous with her because she was so beautiful. And he said, you know, I want to touch you. And I'm screaming. I'm like, you know what? Screw you people. If you're going to have Dixie appear real to him, don't give me this talk crap. Have him make love. Have him have sex. Make love.
Ghostly love. Ghostly love. Something. Instead, she did all E.T. on him and went,
in his glow, heart. She glow. Touched his heart or some crap.
There's a glow
like
in his heart. Yes. I'm putting a glow in Ashley's heart right now.
And then she sets him free. Listen to this, people. She sets him free to love again. And then they say goodbye. Done. Pissed. Why did Katie do it? Why did she do this role? I would have said no.
Money.
I would have said no.
The same reason she's going to join Guiding Light?
You got to think. See, that's a joke. You got to think long term.
Did you hear the rumors?
I did hear the rumors. It's a joke. Why you want to get on and sink a ship?
Money.
She's an actress.
She needs a paycheck. They're
paying her on Guiding Light.
They're going to pay her a lot.
It was short term thinking, if you ask me.
Oh, what? Her return to my children? That's but she knew that it was. They said it was a short term thing.
I would have said, coming in. Unless you bring me back, do not call me again. Click. I would have said, listen, motherfucker, unless you bring me back, don't you even dial my digits. You know what I'm saying?
That's because she's from the hood.
That's right. I would have said that. I would have said, suck it. I would have said, suck it, Brian Frantz. You want my ass? You undo that damn peanut butter. You rewind 2 years.
Tad wakes up and goes to the shower to see who's in his shower. And it's
naked
Dixie.
Naked, saying, make love to me.
See, if Dallas could do it, why can't all my children?
That's right.
I'm surprised at this Guiding Light thing. I'm hoping she takes it, and I'm hoping they do, because she'd actually be a great Harley.
Ay-ay-ay. That's a step down.
No, it is a step down, but...
That's what I'm saying. She's too good.
It's money.
She was people. I hated the whole thing, the whole week. I hated it, but she was brilliant and beautiful to watch, wasn't she?
Well, yes, I love her.
But I hated the fact that it happened.
I lost her twice. Okay,
I know.
I lost her on All My Children and As the World Turns. My mm-hmm. Katie.
You know, I wish we'd lose.
Where do you want me to start? where do you want me to start with? Who do you want to lose?
I would say Miss Blandy, but I don't know. People might get mad. People might get mad at me.
All right, let's go. Yeah, we got a lot to go through in little time. Let's talk about what's the next storyline.
We'll talk about Zach and Kendall and Greedy. It all kind of intertwines, people. Mm. All right. I love the beginning of the week. Remember last week, Zach and Kendall had a fight and he left. He comes back and with a wet head. And I noticed it and I thought it was like a continuity problem or something. Mm-hmm. You know, people, you know what continuity is, right? It's like because you tape on different days and stuff. You got to keep everything the same, like the hair, the makeup, the dress, the set, all that stuff. I thought they had a continuity problem, but they didn't. He has a receding hairline problem is what it is.
Really?
I never knew Mr. Torsten K has a receding hairline.
Wow.
That's what that wet head revealed. His hair started all the way at back of his head. Normally he wears a like comb front. You know what I'm saying?
He does the comb front over?
I think he does. But listen, seriously, he comes home and Kendall's all nervous and stuff. And listen, I'm kind of harshing on it, but I love these two exchanges. I don't care what anybody says. I don't love the characters all the time. I don't love the storyline. But when these two are arguing, it is so believable and so truthful. I feel like I'm fighting with Carlos. Why are you glazing over Jordan Hudson?
Because I'm bored. I really don't like what they've done with Kendall. Kendall's character is so annoying.
But her psychosis, her issues are very real. Her insecurities.
She's not her mother's daughter anymore. She's annoying me.
But at least they're real. At least they're not, like, not real. They're very real. And he's calling her on her stuff. She does the same crap over and over and over again. And he calls her on it. And he's like, what are you doing? What are you doing? And you know what he said to her? She actually asked him if he slept with Greenlee. What a stupid... You know what he says to her? You know what scares me, Kendall Hart Slater? One day it'll push me too far, and I'm not coming back.
Ooh.
That's harsh, right? Her pink eyeshadow and them giant hoop earrings were really tacky. Sometimes Miss Kendall's tacky. Miss Greenlee dresses so perfect. Hair, makeup, outfits, except for that little potato growth shirt she got. I don't like that. What?
Rebecca was on the A-list awards with Kathy Griffin modeling. Did you know that? I just saw it.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, I got a YouTube.
And she looked fabulous. I like the dress they gave her. It was one of the designers, I think, from like Project Runway or something.
Yes, I heard about
that. And she was on the show. I thought she looked fabulous.
She's a size like zero, people. She's amazing.
When I saw her, I was amazing. Like, is that Rebecca? And they were like, Rebecca Buttig. Did I say her last name right?
Yes.
Ooh, okay.
He used to say Buttwig.
Well, let's get to my favorite moment.
Oh! Oh! You tell him, Jordan. I want to relive it through you.
Well, see, Miss Ashley told me last week because she said she saw the coming attractions.
Yes, I was
and
wrong.
And she swore that it was.
I didn't say it on the podcast, but I knew who it was.
I know. She thought she knew who Miss Greenlee took home. So I was expecting
it
to be.
I thought it was Jake.
And that's what I thought it was going to be because my DVR cuts off right before the coming attractions. I don't know. It doesn't do that with One Life, but with All My Children, it does.
And mine does too now.
And boy, was I surprised when it turned out to be Josh.
All of a sudden, these two are in bed and Rebecca's like stroking this manly, beautiful chest. And she's going, oh my God, that was amazing. And then all of a sudden, the camera pans up and it is Josh kissing her head and stroking her back.
Okay.
Oh! It was Josh! I was screaming!
I gotta say this, and I'm just gonna say it.
What? You better be good.
How does All My Children have him and they're not using him to his full potential?
That's what I'm
he
saying.
He should be, you know, and I think somebody. Somebody mentioned in the blog.
Life to live.
I think somebody mentioned in the blog. He should be inheriting his uncle's title.
Yep.
He should become the new Tad the Cat because, yep. A, he's young. He doesn't have any rugrats running around. And he's got the body and the looks for it. He should be like breaking hearts and sleeping with mothers and daughters because he has what it takes.
He should be Josh. Oh my gosh.
All those girls should be, all the girls and single girls in Pine Valley should be after Josh. I got to tell
Ashley
you,
Mendoza too.
It was hot. It was hot.
Don't forget about Ashley Mendoza.
Anyway, it was hot. The chemistry was there. Even though I do want her with
ole,
Jake.
Ole, ole, ole,
I love the chemistry. Ole, and their exchange afterwards was so funny. Because she was basically like, thank you, get out. I was like, what? She was like a guy. She was like, slam, bang, thank you.
She was totally a guy. She goes, Josh, I just needed a warm body. Like, literally said that to him.
It was
That's
fabulous.
A little insulting, don't you think?
No, because men have done it throughout the years. I said it's about time a woman does it
That's
back.
That's true. But I got a question for you.
What?
What is the timeline on this mofo?
Oh, what do you mean?
She sleeps with him and then goes
back to Mexico. And then went drinking with Amanda. That was
thank
awesome.
You.
It was like, what time did she hook up with him? What time did she meet Jake, hook up with him, and went back?
That's what I'm saying.
I thought she was going to go and sleep with somebody
still
else.
She should have been drunk.
She should have went and then picked up Jake and then did him. And then she would have beat Carly from General Hospital, who slept with two guys the same night.
Sloppy seconds is always delicious.
All I know was that those scenes were hot. And I thought it was so cute that he was just like, well, you know, we could get together again and like go out and date. Why not? I'm single. You're single. I was like, that was so cute. I thought it was a really cute scene.
Well, she doesn't stay in confusion very long because she sees him and Amanda. Amanda leaves and then she leaves after Adam says he loves her and she rejects him for the 82nd time. When is he going to get it?
When is he going to leave?
Oh, Jordan Hudson said it, not me.
I'll say it again. I want him gone. They need to ship him to go visit his aunt in like freaking General Hospital in Port Charles. He has a cousin there, Robin. Go visit or
he should go back to England with Lena.
Who's Lena?
Lena was Matt, was Bianca's first love. Was she second from love. England? Second love.
Was she from England?
Wasn't she her second
no, love? No, I thought she was like Bulgarian or something.
She's in England now. She's doing a show in England. Yeah, she's from England. What are you, crazy? I saw it the other day on the BBC. I was
you know what
channels.
I love about One Night to Live?
This is
I can understand
the
everybody.
You podcast.
I love all, One Night to Live because I can understand everybody. There's no thick British accents on One Night to Live.
I want
to
talk about Josh. We didn't see enough of him.
We could never see enough of Josh.
We heard him call Greenlee because they didn't want to pay him, clearly. We heard him call Greenlee at the yacht club and tennis club, and she's rejecting him again. And who overhears her rejection but Zach? They had some nice scenes together, huh?
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's go. We got to wrap it up. Holy cow. I got to tell you, that Pine Valley Yacht Club on the Pennsylvania coast, beautiful. Beautiful.
Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful location.
Beautiful water on the Pennsylvania
coast. But did you notice how in certain scenes it was sunny and bright and then other scenes it was dark and gloomy?
I sure did.
See, that's the problem when you start shooting outside because guiding light does that all the time. When yeah. they when
it
one
was
scene is raining.
When Kendall came, the sun was setting when Kendall came, and then the next day it was the sun was bright again. But it was the same day on all
it
my
was the
children.
Same day, yeah.
All right, so listen. So their chemistry, first of all, the chemistry between Zach and Greenlee is off the charts. He brings that little 92-pound girl a beignet. You know how hard it is to get a beignet? You got to make it. You got to get the little mix from New Orleans, from the French Quarter, and you got to bring it home, and you got to whip a batch and make it, because you can't buy it in no Pennsylvania coastline.
Well, you're just a Julia Child tonight, too.
So he remembered from when they were trapped that she liked beignet. And then this is the funny part that cracked me up. She complains. She's like all happy to get the beignet, but she complains that she's going to have to do laps and really work out. And then Zach says, well, you said you had a good workout last night. And he makes a pumping motion with his hand, like as if to say, hubba, hubba. I was dying. She smacked him and she goes, oh, yeah, or something like that. It was so funny. I loved it. And then they just had like a little back and forth about, you know, Adam and stuff. Because that's what she talks about. Adam. Doesn't Zach ever get bored of talking about other people? Like, whenever you talk to Kendall or Greenlee, you can never talk about yourself. It's always about Kendall's problems or about Greenlee's problems. They are the two most self-centered girls I've ever met in my life. Don't you think?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you never hear them say, what about you, Zach? Did you have a nice day today? What did you do? How are things on your end? With the company? You know, you never hear that. You never hear Kendall say, you know, to Zach, you know, what'd you do at work today, honey? Tell me about your day. You don't hear it. Am I right?
No, you're right. I know.
Thank you. Greenlee asked Zach if he was over the fact that Kendall slept with Aiden. You know what he said? Sure. It was weird. He ain't over it. And then Adam comes to the yacht club and Adam resigns and Zach... What did he say? He said that he thought that Greenlee deserved better. It's pretty good. But in the meantime, before that, we see Special Lily and Jack for the last time. What did you think about Levin Rambin's final performance?
She was there?
Oh, dip!
Was she on?
Do you know that I didn't even recognize her as Lily because she was so not in character?
She looked...
What do you say? What is the expression that you used about the performance?
She texts in her performance.
I literally heard the phone. I literally heard the phone text on.
You know what was amazing? I don't know where I read it. I don't know if it was Page Six or some magazine, but they were saying that she was complaining the fact that she's unemployed now.
Give me a break.
That she was just like, she was upset because she doesn't have a job now.
She mentioned that Ava lives somewhere else.
Well, it's finally nice for them to mention it because they never did before.
Did you notice that outdoors everyone looked a little bit older? Jack was looking pretty Jerkson, that is, was looking pretty leathery, I must say.
Leathery. Ew.
He was saying goodbye to Ava. He was all upset. His little eyes.
He was saying goodbye to Lily, not Ava.
Oh, Lily, that's right.
Lily.
I forgot who was playing who because I wasn't sure who she was playing that day because she was so bad. She starts crying as Lily and she touches him, but oh, did you catch that?
What?
Greenlee comes over with Zach and she goes, "Hey Lily, how are ya?" or something. And she hits her on the sleeve and
she didn't like turn around and go, 49-32, what are you on?
No. You know what she did? She goes, "Oh, hey," like out of character. And they didn't cut it. They didn't stop. They didn't. She goes, "Oh, hey." It was really weird. People, if you watch the episode again, please tell me I'm not crazy. It was
Why
wild.
Does Jackson's children all leave?
They should have cut. Don't you think they should have cut and redid it? Because Levin even knew. Levin was like, "Oh, hey." Why does Jackson what?
Why does his children leave? Reggie.
Reggie went to basketball camp. He's still at basketball camp. That mofo must be as good as Michael Jordan by now.
They just...
He's practicing a lot at basketball camp.
They just want to get away from him.
All right. So anyway, so Kendall comes and they say goodbye and it's terrible and really weird. Kendall comes and they start playing tennis. But I thought it was weird. Why did they have a date to play tennis? Where did this come from? I thought she hated Kendall. Was it random to you?
No, they made these plans a while ago.
Deals.
You know, you can't cancel when you book that court in advance.
I don't
Look, I'm trying to make up some logical excuse. They were playing tennis in honor of Julia. I don't know. It's stupid, but they were playing tennis.
What was really funny was, it was so funny to watch Kendall like serving because it was clear that they had to stand and do the actual serve because they would show Kendall like start the serve and then they would show two random hands in the air and then the hitting of the ball. Uh-huh. And you quote unquote see Miss Kendall serve and then you see Greenlee getting on the ground because the ball has hit her in the eye. Because Kendall was so angry that she saw red because she saw, like, what did she see? She saw, like, Greenlee flirting with Zach. She saw all these horrible images of Greenlee in her head. And she whacked it with the ball.
She's losing her mind, Miss Kendall.
I loved that. I wish we had seen it. It would have been awesome to see it. Don't you
think? Oh, my eye! Oh, my eye!
She's been dying to do that all night, people.
Oh, my eye! She was doing her Marsha Brady impersonation.
It was great. Oh, I loved it. And I love the little back eye. And she makes Kendall, she refers to sleeping with Josh, but she makes Kendall think that is Zach.
Mm.
And then on Friday, we get some more Josh. Oh, I love you so much, Josh.
They're stupid that they don't use him or they let him go. That's all I got
to
say.
So fine on Friday. He goes to see Kendall. And then Kendall, what happens on Friday? I was a little bored. Kendall figures out that they slept together.
Kendall figures out that they get together. And she gets all hyperty-hubbity-hubbity-hubbity upset about it and everything. It's like, he's a grown man.
But then, you know what I loved?
What?
Loved. She sat down with her brother. She said, "I need you to sleep with her again." And again and again. That stuff was good. You didn't like it?
Yeah.
It's sneaky.
Josh was in it. That's all that mattered.
Let's go real quick to Ryan and Blandy because we got a little bit of tying in here to do. Ryan walks in on Blandy giving herself them fertility injections. And then she hides the damn shot under a pillow. And then somehow she's able to get Ryan on the bed. And Ryan finds a shot. She got his shirt off, too, mm-hmm. before he found a shot, which was good on her part. And she was real sneaky. She came up right away. I would not have thought of B12. Some of the listeners on our blog said they would have said B12, but I would never have thought it.
Mm-hmm.
It was good.
Mm-hmm.
So then he feels guilty about stressing her out because she's got to take B12 because she's stressed. So he feels guilty and he gives her a rub down and she gets that wicked smile that Jordan was talking about, that little wickedness. So, and this is where we have the whole weird thing with Ryan going to see Angie and Dr. Jake comes in.
Oh, let me tell you about that. I gotta tell you, Miss Angie should have bitch slapped him in his face. He was so out of line.
He was so out of line. So disrespectful.
First of all, he don't even work in the hospital no more. She brought that up. I don't understand why she even put up with it. But I gotta tell you,
she was being respectful.
Debbie Morgan played the hell out of the scene. Perfectly. Somebody in the blog, I don't know if it was CR17, said, oh, they thought that she was just looking for a way to get out of it. No, I thought that was the way the character Angie was reacting. She was taking her time. She was counting to 10. And she gave that little smile because she was like, I'm going to bitch slap this mother.
I tell you, and someone else said, I think it might have been UCRS that said that they didn't understand why the writers went this way. And I actually really liked it. I thought it was really great choice.
It's only good if they follow up on it. If we find out that, you know, Jake has some real serious issues.
He has issues, absolutely.
And we know that, but you got to follow up on it. You know,
and they should have had a
scene. They should have a scene. Well, I think that's what they're trying to say, that Jake isn't. But they need to have a scene where Angie goes to talk to Dr. Joe and say, look, your son got up in my face. You know what I mean? This is what I'm saying about little holes and no follow through. They need a scene like that.
We'll see. Anyway, it was funny because basically Dr. Jake is trying to promise Ryan this, like, alternative therapy with brain electrodes and stuff that'll make him remember. And Angie's really nervous about it because it's very experimental, but Ryan wants to do it.
Because Ryan's an idiot.
Well, Jake's defense is that, you know, he doesn't want Ryan to lose any more time with his family.
Kept stressing that, too. It's about time, losing time. What the hell happened to Carolyn?
Anyway, so Angie warns Ryan that the procedure could work, but it could also kill him. And then smarmy Jake is, like, pushing this whole operation on Ryan. It was just weird. But then the whole thing gets so contrived for me because as Blandy gets another letter about Ryan's vasectomy reversal and the action, the class action lawsuit, Richie just happens to walk in. Blandy just happens to drop the letter. Richie just happens to pick it up before Blandy can. Richie just happens to read it, and so then he blackmails her. And then she gives him a blank check, which he pretends has a zillion zeros on it. And that's it. And then Blandy ovulates. We see a little smiley face on her ovulation kit. So she's so excited because she's going to have sex with Ryan that night. She set it up. And then, of course, Greenlee walks in with a black eye, and Ryan goes all crazy over her. And then Ryan tells her that he can't sleep with her, be with her. He doesn't know that she wants to have sex with him. Ryan says he can't be with her because he has that appointment late at, right? He has
an
appointment with the doctor in New York City. And she freaks out like a freako. I thought it was so funny when Ryan made Blandy get ice for Greenlee's eye. Number one, because it was just wrong. Poor Blandy got so deflated. And number two, because why does a day later Greenlee need to still be ice in the eye? Does that make any sense?
Yes, because she's milking it for all his work. She's a drama queen. I thought it was totally her character. Oh, my eye.
She waits at home. Blandy waits at home, and she's all excited. But then it gets later and later and later. And then she gets all psycho and is like, oh, I hate you, Greenlee. And she's like this. She's like this. I hate you, Greenlee. I hate you. I hate you. Smash, crash, boom. I hate you, Greenlee. That's what she's like.
I'm liking Blandy.
I think it's weird. I think it's proof on my part. I think it's proof that she can't handle the wicked stuff because she don't come off as wicked to me.
Oh, no. I think she does. I think she's coming across like a cute psycho. I like her.
I don't like it. It's not real for me. I don't know why.
But yes, we have to see how it ended this week.
I'm Puerto Rican, you know, like when we throw a plate, we throw a plate. You know what
I know,
saying?
But this is not Telemundo.
All right, fine.
But wait, we got to tell them what happened at the end of the week now. All
right, so what happens is Greenlee and Ryan go off on a motorcycle and they bond some more. And we know that Ryan loves Greenlee. She don't know it. So he drops her off at home. He strokes her hair. That was interesting. Drops her off and then she opens the door and it's dark in her house. And who's sitting there in her home but crazy ass Blandy.
I was when Greenlee walked in, she's just sitting there with this look on her face. I was on the floor. I said, now this is soap opera. I love this stuff. That was a great way to end it for me. I was like, that's gonna make me tune in on Monday. Woo.
I just love that ending.
That was scary. I was like, oh, fatal attraction.
All right, I want to talk about Baby J and Amanda. Amanda got arrested looking like a hooker.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was so funny. Remember when she asked the cops if she's like, does anybody hear? I don't look like a hooker. Do I look like a hooker? And they were all like, yeah. It was funny. Derek Fry is not at the police station. He is moving to LA. I'm very upset about this.
Well, that explains why he wasn't at the wedding. And I told you that there was no way that ABC was going to let that many black men on one show.
That's stinks, right?
It's horrible. I think it's horrible. The minute Jesse came back and Sam was it. No, I think it's just they don't want that much color on the show. I hate to say it. I'm very upset about it because I like me some Derek.
I think they now have Jesse. They're paying Jesse so much money they can't afford Derek too. That's all it is. That's all it is.
I don't know.
I don't believe that, Jordan Hudson. I don't.
That's my opinion.
I know. All right, fine. You're entitled. So listen. Babe, who is looking so amazingly astounding as that hooker. She has the sickest body on the show, I think. Because she has some meat on her and she's a sexy body, that girl. I know you don't like her, but she got a sexy body. Very sexy. She is in trouble. She's about to get raped, basically. And that weirdo Trina she finds out who Babe is and she tells the boys that they could rape her, basically. I thought that was disgusting. That was disgusting.
Well, Trina's a hooker. What do you expect?
Well, it was gross. It was like so weird. I don't know. It was really gross. But anyway, JR busts in so sexy and he saves her. And then they're able to bribe, you know, Trina or whatever. And Babe and JR, it's kind of cute. Like they bond over this and they like the old Babe and JR in a way, mm-hmm. right? You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? I liked mm-hmm. it. How did JR deduce that Richie buried Greenlee and Zach? He just came up. They're like sitting there talking and he figures this out.
Mm-hmm.
That was weird. Why can't Babe and JR just have sex? She's in that prostitute outfit. She's wearing them garters. She's looking hot. He's looking so awesome with that beautiful haircut and that big man boobs of his.
I like his new beefy body. I don't know. It's sexy.
It's nice, right? Like it too. I don't mind a little beef. I don't mind a little meat on the bones. That's what a man looks like. Too skinny is no good.
Yeah.
Why can't they just have sex?
I'm not writing the show.
Fine. When did JR capture Richie? He captures Richie, throws him in like a cabin or shed or something.
That just happened on Friday's episode.
So he threatens him. He pretends that he's going to shoot Richie with poison to get Richie to confess. And Richie actually lets the cat out of the bag that he stole his bone marrow. And then, you know, JR jabs him and the guy goes into convulsions. And of course, JR only had saline solution in the damn needle. So the whole thing gets a little silly for me because it happens to coincide with the whole Jesse, you know, wanting to become a cop again.
I don't even talk about
him with that. I know him with Sam Woods and my brother. That was a little yikes, right?
Okay, there's two black men in this scene. We got to make it sound raw ethnic.
It has to be ethnic.
It has to be very ethnic. It was like.
I still like them. I like them very much, but it was a little over the top for me. But they were great. I think they're really good together. I liked it. So basically, Sam Woods asked Jesse to replace Derek Fry as chief of police. Now, I don't know why Sam Woods is asking. Don't ask me why. It would be his jurisdiction or whatever you say, but whatever. But I loved Angie's reaction because she goes, when Jesse tells her that that Sam Woods offered him the chief of police position, she goes, oh, that's wonderful. Oh, how did he take it when you turned him down? And he looked at her so perfect because he knows his Angie and he just laughed it off. It was really great. And then she comes home from work that day. She says, remember she said they had a whole thing about Julia, that they had
Julia. It was nice that they mentioned Julia.
They mentioned her. And then he talks about it again, and she screams at him that she needs to feel safe and blah, blah, blah. And don't you
understand? I understand,
huh? I do, too. Totally.
I agree with her.
She's so good.
I agree with him, but I agree with her. I understand both.
Well, anyway, the whole thing coincided with there's these, like, newbie kids, and they come to arrest those JR, cops. Right?
Yeah, I didn't see that. That was cheesy for me. Friday's episode with them was cheesy. Very the storyline was cheesy. He, became, like, a mentor to the, like, first of all, why would they be telling him anything? He's not in the police force anymore. It made no sense.
And they're ready to arrest JR because the proof is there that he did do something to Richie, but, you know, because Jesse is such an ace detective and an ace cop, he's able to flesh out the other side a little bit and lead him on another path. And they figure out that Richie may indeed have done some wrong here. And what I loved is how the week ended, though.
It was.
Richie escapes.
But Zach catches him.
He escapes wearing the same sort of sweatshirt hood, like Unabomber look. And he goes, oh, sorry, man, or something like that. He runs into Zach, goes, sorry, man. And Zach has a flash of when that happened, when he got hit by that hit and run guy. And I love Zach so much. He was so sexy. His face got full of anger, and he grabs Richie and turns him around. So next week, we're going to see Zach kick his ass. if we're lucky.
You want to talk about Erica?
Well, let's talk about Randy and Frankie. You thought it was boring. I liked them. That was it.
I have one note. Randy and Frankie. Boring.
I like them.
That's because she's America's Next Top Model or some crap like that.
No, she's not. She's gorgeous.
She is
beautiful.
I thought she wasn't America's Next
Top Model. I find her to be a more interesting actor than Brianna Moncrief.
Listen, are you sure she wasn't in America's Next Top Model?
No, that's Yaya.
I know Yaya was, but I thought there was a few of them.
No, I don't know.
I thought I read on Super Poster's blog that she was.
All right, I'll have to look up a Super. Super Poster posted so many good things. I gotta keep track.
All right, we gotta
finish. All right, Erica.
Erica, you tell a story. I'm too bored with it.
Well, basically, Erica finds out that she was replaced on New Beginnings with somebody else.
Well, before that, though.
Oh, yeah, Kendall goes. Kendall, yes, Kendall.
And she tells Kendall to find. Kendall, you need to find your emotional center. Harness your chi, Kendall, and use it to rise above. Rise above. Your emotional and spiritual energy arises from within. Focus on your breathing. That's what she said to her.
I love Kendall.
And the reason why that's important is because, go ahead.
Because then she doesn't take her own advice, because she goes in a hissy fit when she finds out that she's been replaced in New Beginnings, and she scares all her cellmates by throwing magazines around.
And Carmen knows she's going to freak out, so Carmen does upside down dog.
Carmen was so funny trying to divert her. I was wondering why Carmen was acting so weird at the beginning, like, oh, she was trying to get her attention away from the TV. It was fabulous.
But what's so funny to me was the fact that this 98-pound woman, Erica Cade, is throwing magazines at these hardened prison inmates.
She was throwing the latest issue of Tempo magazine.
And they're like, oh my God, Erica's going crazy. Oh my God, watch out for her. She's crazy. It's ridiculous.
But see, you know what would have been a good storyline twist?
What?
If the person hosting the show would have been Brooke.
Oh, you're killing me. Why would you do that to me, Jordan?
Or if Liza Colby is the new producer and that's who replaced Erica.
Oh,
see, this is when writers don't get it. That's what you do. That's what's going to make her. Could you imagine if Erica saw Brooke in her place?
Brilliant.
That would have been a brilliant way of bringing Brooke and Liza. You could have brought both of them back that way.
Brilliant.
I should be writing the show.
Erica and Carmen together. Carmen tells her she got to bust out, but Erica doesn't have
an answer. Carmen's excuse for everything. Okay. You know what we got to do? We got to bust out.
And Erica's like, no, Carmen, no. I have an idea. It's brilliant, Carmen. I have a great idea. And then she calls the governor. Hello, Governor Brooks. I want to tell you about a new show, New Beginnings Behind Bars.
It was cabby but fun. I liked it. I'm so scared that Carmen's gonna be gone once this new writer comes on.
Carmen is gone.
Don't say things like that. I love me some Carmen. You know, Carmen would be really hot with what's his name?
Josh.
Mm-hmm.
She would. She would take care of that man.
Bad boy for you know.
Listen, he had boy sex from the with rice, Danielle.
Rich boy falling with like the bad girl.
He had sex with Danielle. That is so weird.
And yet you're all in everybody's here in an uproar about Frank and Kobe. Meanwhile, I thought he was a little bit old for Danielle. That was a bigger age difference than Frank and Kobe.
If he was born in the 60s, that's a huge age. No, wait, when was he born?
76 or 75, something like that.
Erica had the abortion in 75?
Like 75, 76, something like that, 73.
75. Oh, yeah, so then Danny was like born like 20 years after that. Or 10 years, no, 10 years after that.
Yeah.
Holy cow.
And yet you all are crazy about Frank and Kobe.
Well, listen, we have talked a hell of a lot today.
Yes.
He says that so demure, people. So shy.
Because I had so much more I wanted to say, but we're running out of time.
What else did you want to say?
No, it's too long.
What we'll did do you want to say? Toilet.
Nothing.
Just say it.
No.
I can't take the curiosity.
No, I'm just going to say, you know, I love me or my children, but I just wish that, you know, I want them to. I'm really upset about this Chuck Pratt thing. I really am.
Rebecca Budig claimed to be excited about it. She said she was thrilled.
She's crazy.
I think she's sucking up to the writer. She's smart. She's smart.
Look, all I'm saying is...
We told Katie. Taylor used to tell... Taylor used to tell Katie...
Tater or Taylor?
Taylor, sorry.
You said tater tots. Go ahead.
Taylor used to tell Katie, you got to tip the writers. You got to give them a little 50 spot or 100 spot. That's a smart girl, you know, that Rebecca Budding.
All I'm saying is, if you're going to bring characters on, you got to bring them on with purpose. You got to have storylines already ready. One of the things that's so beautiful about One Night to Live is that they're telling stories. These characters come on not just because we're bringing a cat. Like, for instance, you brought Cassandra on because she's Angie's daughter, but what is she doing? Where has she been? You have not seen Cassandra since the wedding. This is exactly what I'm talking about.
That's a very smart, astute, comment you can make. They bring on characters.
With no
purpose. They don't bring on stories. You got to bring on stories, not characters.
You got to have a story.
You are so brilliant, Jordan Hudson. Why the hell aren't you writing for this show?
I don't know.
On that note, people, we are plumb out of time. Thank you for listening to our podcast. We love doing it for you. We hope you like it. And if you don't like it, turn off your damn computer. Am I right?
Yes.
Listen, if you want to, please do write us pvp@pinevalleypodcast.com, or you can go to our MySpace page, www.myspace.com/pinevalleypodcast. Or you can go to our website, www.pinevalleypodcast.com. You can blog with us. You can find links to some of our friends. You can do lots of stuff. So we hope you come visit us. I am your host, Ashley Mendoza.
And I am your co-host, Jordan.
Other host,
Jordan Hudson.
And here's a little something just for you.
Why is that? I don't know where or when or even why it happened, but somewhere along the line, you became my best friend. I mean it. No matter how much destruction you caused in my life, no matter how much havoc I wreaked in yours, you and I never drifted so far apart that we couldn't find one another again.
Well, we never have to drift apart ever again. And we've been moving to this point since we were teenagers.
I don't think where we're moving is what you've got in mind. I know you love me. And I love you right back. But just not in the way you're thinking.
I know that Dixie holds your heart.
No, that's not what I meant.
Not Dixie.
The other day, you nailed me. When you said that my little hiatus was just a way of covering my feelings for Crystal.
Well, I was wrong.
No, you weren't wrong. Because I do have feelings for Crystal. I don't know where they're going to take me, but I'm going to try to follow them, if she'll let me.
Well, Tad, I mean, what you and I have is a lot more than what happens in the bedroom.
If I'd ever thought for one second that the two of us getting involved would risk our friendship, I wouldn't have done it in the first place.
Also, you never... Well, this... just didn't really have anything to do with Dixie. I lost out to Miss Tractor Pull 93. And you just want me to shake it off and be your good friend?
You and I have been through a lot of really, really bad things together. I know we can get through this.
No, I gotta tell you, you know what I thought about when we were together? I thought that we were making love.
Just tell me what to do so I can make this better.
No, you should go and be with her. You should share your tender feelings with her. And when she pulls the rug out from underneath you and you need a shoulder to cry on, you should go to someone else. Because your good friend Liza really doesn't give a damn anymore.